Please remain standing, take your Bibles, and go to the book of James. James chapter 4. This morning we'll read verses 14 through 17 responsively. I'll read verse number 14, then you'll join me on verse 15 all the way through verse number 17. James chapter 4. James chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoiced in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, the Spirit. Lord, this morning we truly do thank you for America, the greatest country on earth. Lord, thank you that we can still honestly say one nation under God. Lord, it is because of groups like this that are meeting all across this country today, Lord, that your hand of blessing is still upon this country. Yes. And Lord, we need you desperately this morning. Lord, without you, this morning would be pointless. Holy Spirit, would you please fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches? May we be yielded to you as we listen. Speak to our hearts, encourage us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll give me your attention this morning, I really need you to listen. I've got about 37 or 38 minutes. I'm not on a time clock, by the way, but I'm trying to get you out at noon because I'm hungry. By the way, that is such an appropriate song for our church, ladies. Our little motto around here is we're a hospital, not a museum. This is a place where hurting people come to get help. We're not putting anybody on display. We're just one sinner talking to other sinners. Amen? And as the Apostle Paul would say, of whom Brother Mike is chief. But if you'll listen to me this morning, I think, and I mean this, this may be one of the key elements to understanding the Christian life and living a what I would call a separated Christian life, and I want to help you today. I have been door-to-door soul winning and knocking on doors for over 40 years of my life. Not many weeks have gone by in 40 years where I haven't knocked on a stranger's door and tried to present the gospel to somebody. And I mean millions and millions of times I have done that. And almost every week of my life, I have heard somebody make a statement, say this. They would say, I would say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yes, I know that. And I'll say without hesitation, how do you know that? And they make a statement similar to this. Well, I'm not real bad. I'm doing pretty good, and they rely on their good works. They'll sometimes say, well, I've been to church, and I've been baptized, or I did this at church, or I've done that. And basically, they're trying to say, I've been a good person. In James chapter 4, verse number 17, the Bible says this, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, let me make a statement here. If you are not doing good, you cannot be good. God says if you're not doing good, you're sinning. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sometimes it is not the bad that you're doing, but the lack of good that you're doing that is sin. Now, if we're not doing good, can we really be good? Well, preacher, I'm being good. You got to do good to be good. Right. Now, listen to this very carefully. God did not say we are good if we're not doing bad. God said you're good when you're doing good. There is a big difference. It is not the absence of bad that makes us good. It is the doing of good that makes us good. Let me say that again. It is not the absence of bad that makes us good. It is the doing of good that makes us good. It is not knowing what good is that makes you good. God says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't care. God does not care how much good you know. How much good are you doing? You can know everything that is good, but if you do nothing with it, it is worthless. We have a lot of educators who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't do anything with it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that knowledge puffeth up. Brother Josh and I had gone down to Arlington to see Brother Steve Miller after his surgery. And by the way, doing very well. He's eating solid food today. And but Brother Josh and I were coming back, and we were on Route 7 just outside of Leesburg there, headed towards Berryville. And there was a deer on the side of the road that had been murdered by a car. But it had to be a few days old. And it looked like all four legs were like this. And it looked like a drum had been stretched across its belly. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be there when that thing pops. Say why? Because it's all puffed up. Its gases are building, and it's full of maggots that are eating it and creating more. And when that thing blows, you don't want to be around. God says knowledge puffs up. That's the exact terminology used in 1 Corinthians. Knowledge by itself gives somebody a big head full of nothingness. I don't care how much you know. Are you using what you know? Now, listen to this very carefully here. Too many Christians are of the mindset, because they got saved and stopped doing bad, that they are now a good person. Now we're going to start meddling and preaching. Just because you got saved and just because you stopped doing bad things does not make you a good person. Some of you church rats that grew up in church like I did. I'm 53 years old and have been in church for 54 years. You say, that's impossible. I went to church for 9 months before they hatched me. I've been in church my whole life. I grew up in an independent, fundamental, soul winning, bus running Baptist church my whole life. Thank God for it. But may I say something? Just because you grew up good and never really did anything bad in the world's eyes does not mean you are a good person. Let me say that again. Just because you grew up in a good situation does not mean that you're good. God tells us you have to do good to be good. And the lack of bad in your life is not the measuring stick of good. Too many of us are trying to compare ourselves to the drunk on Queen Street in his own vomit this morning and say, I'm not that bad. No, but what good are you doing? Good and bad are two entirely independent, standalone qualities. They are not a comparison to each other, and they're not related to one another. So the doing of good doesn't mean you can't do bad. And the lack of doing bad does not make you good. So let's take a look at what God has to say about this. And it's going to be much different than anything you have heard probably in your life. First of all, number one, none of us are good on our own. Psalm 14, verse number 1 says this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Verse number 3. They are all gone aside. They are all gone together, become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Psalm 53. Let me take a moment and turn there. Psalm 53, verse number 1 says this. There it is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Verse 3, every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Can I tell you something? All of us are sinners. That means this, we're all not good. Say, well, preacher, I'm not that bad. Did you know there's a word in the Bible that is very similar to the word good or goodness? It's the word righteous or righteousness. This is familiar to some of you soul winning Christians. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, but you didn't usually read the next two verses. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Right.
Mm. First thing you have to realize to get saved is, you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you're not all good.
Sorry.
Neither am I. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, and I love this, Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God says even the good things we do are as filthy rags because we're sinners. See, even the good that we do is often tainted by sin. No matter how good you try to be, you're still a sinner. No matter how good I try to be, I'm still a sinner. Now, the original sin of mankind in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5, is a very interesting thing. We won't take time to turn there, but Satan was tempting Adam and Eve. By the way, he wasn't just tempting Eve. Because you'll read in verse number 6 that Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says, and gave also unto her husband with her. Adam was not protecting Eve from temptation and the devil. She ate first, but it was Adam who God commanded, and he disobeyed on his own. But it's interesting when Satan said, oh, come on, it's a tree to make you wise. You could know good and evil. You could decide right and wrong, good and bad for yourself. See, Satan wanted to be God. He didn't want God telling him what was right and wrong. He wanted to decide right and wrong for himself. And he said, look, man, Adam, if you'll do this, you can decide what's right and wrong. You don't need God then. Ew. That's why when man sinned, the punishment of hell came, because it's the same sin that Satan committed prior to the creation of man. God's justice required the same punishment. But notice it was about man choosing what is good and evil for himself. Now listen to this very carefully. That's why this fuzzy snowflake liberal LGBTQ alphabet soup society we have today, they honestly think they are doing good. They are deciding good for themselves. You have people that are rioting in the streets that feel like they are doing something good. They don't see it as evil. But they are the ones deciding what is good. Well, why are they tearing down all of the memorials of history? Because they want to be the oppressor. They want to wipe out what history was so we can repeat it, but they want to be the ones that are in power, not somebody else. You see, I really believe these liberals... maybe not Nancy Pelosi, but these liberals really believe they're doing good. And they are doing good by their standard, but it's not God's standard. Now, so none of us are good on our own. Number two. Are you ready? This one's going to hurt. Being good is not the absence of doing wrong. Being good is not the absence of doing wrong. Look at James 4, verse 17 again. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and what's the next word? Doeth it not. To him it is sin. It does not say, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it bad, to him it is sin. God says that it's not the absence of bad, it is the presence of doing good that makes one good. You see, doing good is not knowing good, it's doing good. Doing good is not being bad, it's doing good. Just because you do something and you're not bad, it doesn't mean that you're doing good. Boy, that's an important statement. Now, let me say this. You don't do good for salvation. You say, why? Because you're a sinner. And even your righteousness is as filthy rags. For by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But watch this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ooh, that means this. You're not good enough to work your way to heaven. I don't care how many times you get baptized. You can get baptized in every pond, every creek, know every tadpole by name, and die and go to hell. You can do all the good works. You can light all the candles you want to light. You can go to talk to a guy in the telephone booth and tell him everything that you know that's wrong and still die and go to hell. It is not the works that you do that get you saved. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ added to your life. Now watch this. But after you get saved, you are supposed to do good. God did not save you as a fire insurance policy against hell and a homeowner's insurance policy for heaven. He made you so that you could serve him and do good, but you don't do good until you got saved. It is not the doing of good that gives you salvation, but because you're saved, you'll want to do good. Now, not doing bad does not make you good. You're only good when you're doing good. It is not the absence of you not drinking alcohol that makes you good. Knowing what is good, knowing what the Bible says, does not make you good. Only what you obey in the Bible is what makes you good. Brother Steve would know who this is. I'm not going to use the name. But we worked in Bible clubs together. There was a young lady that lived just a vile life. She could quote scripture for an hour and never repeat the same verse. She was running into gangs. I remember one night after church, she had a bounty out on one of the assistant pastors of the church. I'm not sure if you were with us that night or not, but there was guys with chains and ball bats and knives ready to attack this guy after church, and we walked him to his car and surrounded him and kept him from killing him. She was leading that pack. She could stand there and quote scripture for an hour. One day she looked at me, I was getting on her. She said, well, I know more scripture than you know. I said, how much of it are you living? I said, God doesn't care how many scriptures you can quote. How many are you living? Less than 3 months later, I had to go to the hospital in intensive care ward to visit her because she had been gang raped and beaten with ball bats and just miserable. She almost lost her life. See, it's not how much you know here, how much you do in here. A saved person who knows the Bible, may even read your Bible, may even pray daily, doesn't make you good. Those are expectations as a saved person. That's like saying, well, I got up and I took a shower and I put clothes on and I went outside. You know, you go outside without putting clothes on, it's not doing good. Brother Sean Stansberry texted me yesterday, preacher, is knee-length shorts okay for the men and the boys? I said, it's fine, but it'd be eye pollution if I did it. I'm not doing it. Now, wait a minute. if you stay at home instead of coming to church when it's church time, then you're not doing good. If it's time to go soul winning, you're supposed to be doing good, not doing what you want to do. Just because you don't go get drunk or go to the nightclub or go to the movie house, it doesn't make you good. Everybody doing okay? The lack of drunkenness doesn't make you good. Brother Mike, 26 years old or 27 years old, commode-hugging drunk. Just because he put the Budweiser beer can down did not make him good. The lack of doing drugs does not make one good. I don't take drugs. I've been around a lot of marijuana in my day, not doing it, but because of working with people and knocking on doors. And man, you know the smell. Makes you sick. Now, I watch people do that and think, you're stupid. Why in the world would you want to live your life that way? Now, if I've got a full-blown kidney stone, you better believe, get me to the hospital and give me the knockout juice here. You say, why? Because you've never experienced pain until you experience one of them. I've birthed 10 of those stones. Go give me the cocktail. Get it over with. It's not that you don't feel anything, but you don't care. And you say, you're just a sissy preacher. Yep. You have 10 of those, you'll find out how much of a sissy you aren't. Amen. But by the way, I don't do that kind of stuff just to feel that way. Every time I go through that, I think, why in the world would somebody want to do this? There's only one purpose for that stuff, and that's to put you out of your mind while you're in pain. The lack of gambling doesn't make you good. The lack of adultery or fornication in your life does not make you good. Only obedience to God and the Bible and doing good is what makes you good. We think, well, compared to so-and-so, I'm not bad. How about you compare yourself to the Word of God? Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. He is the schoolmaster. He is the plumb line. He is the standard, not some other sinner. We're really good about, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, opening your mouth and making a statement like that, you probably are. You're just not as bad in that area as they are. How about we see the other areas? That's why in this church, somebody messes their life up, I'm not going to trot them up here and tell you all the bad they did. None of your business. Well, that's church discipline. That's stupidity and it's gossip. Well, you're just trying to cover things up. Yep, it's covered by the blood. Guess what? If we told you, you couldn't forgive them anyway. Their sin is between them and God. Everybody doing all right? You're going to be glad when it's your family. Now hang on. Before you judge somebody else and want to know what bad they did, let's bring you up and tell everybody what you've done. All of it. Then you'll have a little bit more level ground to judge. Until then, just keep your fat mouth shut and pray for them. Why don't you talk to God about them? I'll promise you, you're not going to talk to God that way. Not for very long. Man, I'm having fun. Somebody say amen. So, number one, none of us are good. We're all sinners. God says even the good we do is tainted by sin. Number two, being good is not the absence of doing wrong. It is the presence of doing good. Number three. And I'm about to shout. This is why salvation requires righteousness. Salvation requires righteousness. I'm going to teach you pure Bible doctrine. I'm going to use a lot of scripture and I'm going to teach you something today. Salvation is not just a matter of you not having sin on your account being forgiven. It takes righteousness for salvation. When Brother Fisher and I and our wives were in college, we had a little pocket of people that got kicked out of college. There's about about 8 or 10 people that thought that they could live righteous and live days and days and days without sinning. That didn't last very long. You see, we're all unrighteous. But, and I hate to say this, and if you'll listen to me, even if you could live your life without sinning, you would die and go to hell. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, we read verse 10 a little while ago. I want you to see it again. Then we're going to skip down in the chapter. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 3, verse number 10. As it is written, there is how many righteous?
None.
Okay, you sound like a bunch of Methodists. There's how many righteous?
None.
None righteous, no, not one. Look down to verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice something. Even the righteousness of who? God. Which is by faith in Jesus. It doesn't say the lack of sin. It says by the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus. Now watch this. That is why Jesus did not leave heaven, die at Calvary, and be buried and resurrect 3 days later, all at one time. That's why he came and was born of a virgin and lived a sinless and a righteous life. He had to live our righteousness so that not only could our sins be forgiven, but that the righteousness of Christ could be added to our account at salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4, just the next page or so. Look at verse number 6. Romans chapter 4, verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now watch this. Drop down to verse 16. That's not the right chapter. Hang on here. I'm in James. Good night. No wonder that didn't sound right to me. I'm reading this thing thinking, where did I go with that? Y'all as confused as I am right now? Okay, good. Whew. So much for pure doctrine. Romans chapter 4, look at verse number 6. There we go. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Watch this. Righteousness imputed, sins covered. Verse number 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Skip down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all seed, not to them that only which is of the law, but also them which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which not be as though they were. And boy, there's so many things. Skip down to verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now watch this. Brother Josh, can you stand up for a second? Here's a dirty, wicked, rotten, filthy, no good, lousy scum of the earth sinner. You play that part well. But there was a day when Brother Josh realized he was a sinner on his way to hell. And he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now watch this. God says the moment you trust him is for by grace are you saved through faith. That moment you place that faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that alone to take you to heaven, God wipes your sin away. But the Bible says that God will impute his righteousness to your account. Not only, Brother Josh, did your sins get washed away, and boy, it was a long list. Not only did they get forgiven, but watch this. He put the righteousness of Christ on the account of Brother Josh's life. So that when God looks in one day when you go to heaven, God will say, not only is the blood applied, but I see the righteousness of Christ added to your life. Enter in. It is not just the forgiveness of sin. It is the adding of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not your righteousness. You can't earn your own righteousness because your righteousness is as filthy rags. Even the good you do, it's really tainted by sin. So it's not your righteousness. God had to put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your account the moment you got saved. That's why when Satan went to God and said, "Hast thou not?" And God said, "Hast thou not considered my servant Job? He is a righteous man. Was he sinless? Oh no. But he was a saved man and had the righteousness of Christ added to his life by faith." Have a seat. Job wasn't a good man because of Job. He was a good man because of his righteousness that was added to his account. So, turn to Romans chapter 8. Now that I'm in the right book of the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Watch this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Watch this. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because of what Jesus did for you, the moment you get saved, the righteousness of the law is made and imputed to your account in heaven. Not because of what you do, but because of what he did. It's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness. When you stand before God one day, it's not only, well, I trusted him and my sin was washed away. There has to be a presence of righteousness. That's why he lived our righteousness for us so that it could be imputed to our account at salvation. Man tries to work his own righteousness, but his own righteousness is tainted by sin. That's what religion is. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man. God, I've been good. I didn't kill anybody. I kept the Ten Commandments, even though that's civil law, not spiritual law. I did good things. I helped my neighbor. I didn't pull anybody's hair too often. I wasn't real bad. Hopefully my good outweighs my bad. It won't, because you need Jesus Christ to step on the scale and put his righteousness there. Now, this is man trying to appease God with a sinful good. Religion is man trying to appease God with a sinful goodness. By the way, out there, that's why there's preachers out there telling you, well, you got to repent of all your sins, you got to turn from your sin and never go back to those, or you didn't get it. That's man's righteousness. Let me show you what repentance is. Repentance is I'm trusting myself, my good works, my own righteousness. I heard the gospel. My goodness is not good enough, and I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'll trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and do what the Bible says. The moment you go from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that is repentance. The act of salvation is the act of repentance. It's not turning from your sins. You can't turn from them because your righteousness is as filthy rags. you're not good enough to turn from them. If you did, you're still a sinner. You need the righteousness of Christ added to your account for salvation. Look at Romans chapter 10. Verse number 2. Well, go back to verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. Now watch this. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of whose righteousness? God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that doeth good? To doeth what? To him that believeth. God says that our act of salvation, going from trusting our own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves to that, that is salvation. Matter of fact, you're not even good enough to have your own faith. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Say, well, I'll do it by my faith. You don't even have any faith. We're not saved by our faith. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse number 16. Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of who? Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Believed God. Look at verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, you don't need to take time to turn there. It says that God hath given to every man the measure of faith. God has put in every human being a measure of faith necessary for salvation. And if you keep seeking truth, I really believe if you're looking for truth, you'll find the truth, the gospel, to hear it so you can get saved. But you are not saved by your faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That what? That is a relative pronoun that renames the preceding noun. What is the preceding noun? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God had to even give you the faith necessary to get saved. You are not putting your faith in it. You're putting the faith that God gave you for salvation. It's not you. It's not your righteousness. It's all His. That is what salvation is all about. It is not just the forgiveness of sin, it is the presence of righteousness. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Everybody look at me for a second. That's why after you get saved, you don't stop sinning. Because you're a sinner. And just because you sinned, you're not going to die and go to hell after you're saved. Because once you've been saved, you have the righteousness of Christ added to your account. It's covered by the blood, past, present, and future. That's why in the book of 1 John says that we have not sinned. Say, why is that? Because when the devil comes and talks to God and says, well, look at Brother Scott. Look at the bad that he's done. God looks at it and says, all I see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In my eyes, he hasn't sinned. He's trusted Christ. It's under the blood. And the righteousness of Christ has been added. Now, he suffers the consequences here on earth. He'll never face the judgment for it in heaven. Now, listen to me carefully. It's not just the lack of sin in Jesus' life that gave us righteousness. It was the presence of him doing good. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, look at verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What's the next phrase? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. Notice he went about doing good. John chapter 21, verse number 25. You don't need to turn there. The Bible says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Jesus Christ came and went about doing good, and he did so much good that God said, if it were recorded, the books could not even contain, could be contained in the world. He lived enough righteousness for every one of us to get saved. You are not saved by your righteousness. And if you're saved, you're not a righteous person because you got saved. You're a righteous person because God imputed it to you. Amen. You're not a good person just because you don't do what you used to do. How about what good are you doing? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The title of my sermon is Being Good Requires Doing Good. Being good requires doing good. How about we give God a church full of Christians who do not just know what is good, but a church full of Christians that does good? People who don't just know what good is, people who are not just being bad, but people that know what's good and do good. How about we obey the good that we know? We have all kinds of people in our church. We have folks that have been saved just a week or two. We have folks that have been saved since Noah got off the ark. Good night. I've been saved for 49 years. I've been saved a long time. There's people in this room, you just got saved in just the last week or two. There might be somebody here today that's not saved. You need to get saved. We're all entering the race at different places. And some of us know more good than others, but may I say this, are you doing the good that you know? It's not how much good you know, how much good are you doing? So, let's not worry about being good. How about we concern ourselves with doing good? Just because you're not doing bad doesn't mean you're doing good. It is not good because you know what's good. It's good because you do what's good. So, as the title says, being good requires doing good. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Not because you're good, but because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I know 100% sure because I've trusted Christ, him alone, that's all. Not my church, not my whatever, but I've trusted Jesus Christ and that alone to take me to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand right now? God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you don't know that, would you let us take a Bible and just honestly, in two or three short minutes, you could walk out of this room knowing for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. Who'd say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? Oh, I won't embarrass you. All right. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We can take care of that today. You come to the altar, we'll get your name, we'll baptize you today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to kneel at an old-fashioned altar and decide you're going to do good, not just know good. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. scores and scores of hands. You may put them down.